On this week's show, Ben Cole is here to smash our faces to bits in Robo Puzzle Smash, a competitive puzzle fighter, a game that tests your wits. So Andy will surely suck at it, ladies and gentlemen. Astral Chain gets review bombed by a bunch of asshats. Capcom announces an extraordinary collection that is sure to leave Mega Man fans all hot and bothered. And finally, the Hype Zone raises the bar. No, sets the standard for video game excellence. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 114. Everybody, welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 114 for the week of September 2nd. It's here. We're in September, ladies and gentlemen, 2019. Wake me up when this month is over, as they say, the Green Day. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he is my partner in crime. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel very hot and bothered by hearing your sexy voice during that intro so eloquently.
Yes, I mean, I stumbled a little bit, but it was all right. It happens.
Yeah, You're totally fine, though.
It happens. And as I mentioned in that beautifully read and performed dramatic reenactment, or dramatic reading, rather, of the cold intro, we have Ben with us. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing fantastic.
We are thrilled to have you with us. This is going to be a really good episode. I'm really excited about this one. Andy, I have a bit of news to start the show with.
Oh, shit. Are you doing news bits?
No. This is a personal news bit. As I mentioned before we started recording, I helped my father unload our storage unit. We had a storage unit together. And when I was moving back and forth, when we moved back from Colorado, I moved back in with my parents. So I need to put a lot of stuff in storage. And then I moved into this apartment, and then I couldn't fit everything in the apartment. So yada, yada, yada. Long story short, we had stuff in storage. Now, among my bass guitar, my acoustic guitar, and one of my electric guitars, and a little mini amplifier, and one box of miscellaneous, like, memorabilia, guess what I found among the boxes, the one other box that I had in that storage unit?
Your dignity?
Close. Ben, do you have any guesses as to what I found in this box? I know you don't know us through from a hole in the wall, but it is Nintendo related.
I could not even venture a guess.
I found all of my video game consoles that were missing since I moved from Colorado.
Oh.
That I could not find. My OG PlayStation, my two NES consoles, my Super NES Mini, like the mini one, the second edition. I'm sure there's games in there. I haven't really looked. I think my Dreamcast is in there. My Nintendo 64 is in there. Bunch of controllers, all sorts of stuff. So I, needless to say, am a happy camper. I think also I have a Commodore 16. Yeah, that's a thing that I have. Got one of those.
How do you lose track of all these things? I can tell you.
So here's what happened.
Where my Game Gear is right now.
So here's what happened. When we were moving. When we were in Colorado, we moved from our apartment in with my sister and brother-in-law for like six weeks until we moved back to New York. We had like 6 weeks there. So a lot of the stuff got packed into boxes and put in the corner of their basement. And when we packed everything up, me and my two cousins drove back, and we had the car on a, what was it? The car. And then we had like a little hitch, and everything else we shipped in one of those moving companies that drives across the country. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when I unpacked everything, I couldn't find all of those game stuff. I was like, what happened to it? Did I leave it in Colorado? And my brother-in-law was like, hey, you left this, you left that, you left like your hockey, some of your hockey equipment, you left blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, well, when I come visit or whatever, you know, I'll start taking some stuff with me. I'll stuff it in my suitcase. And then I asked him to find that, and he's like, no, it's not here. And I was like, shit. Did I just misplace it? Is it gone forever? Did I like leave it on this like the side of the road while we were packing the truck and I forgot about it? Like whatever. So forever, I thought. Well, for 5 years now, I thought it was, or 4 years, I thought it was gone forever. But now the box is sitting right there, and I'm looking at it, and I can't wait to go through it and see all my old consoles and stuff that have my little, you know, like the P-Touch label maker. When I was a kid, I was a real dick, and I put anything that was mine, I put my name on to make my brother feel bad. Well, he used to do that shit to me all the time because he's the older brother. You know how it is. For those of you that are new to Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, welcome! This is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest to talk the indies and Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, and of course, on dualscreens.com. If you're a listener on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a review. We would love to read your review on the show, and it helps get this little humble podcast in front of more eyeballs. And remember, we are sponsored by Melted Pins, but I will tell you about that right before our Retro Game Club segment of the program. You could also support us by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, the demigod himself, Alex Gonzalez. Alex, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot continue to grow without your support, so helping us out on Patreon is absolutely wonderful, and it really does help us keep the lights on, so to speak. If you love what we do here on NDS Podcast, the absolute best way that you can help us, if you don't have a dollar, if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts and you can't leave us a review, the absolute best way that you can help the show out is by telling your friends about the show. Tell them that you listen to it. Tell them that you love it. Tell them that it's awesome. That's the best way to get the word around. All right. Before we get into the lead story, before we get into the Nintendo News Report, before we do all of that stuff, Andy, it's time for everybody's favorite segment.
Yes, it is.
By the way, we don't have a prize to give away this week because last week we didn't have a guest on the show, so we did not give away anything, and then we forgot all about it. So we're not giving a prize this week, but maybe next week we'll double up. I don't know. We'll see what happens at the end of the show. But it is time for everybody's favorite segment, the Nindies of the Week! Andy, what you been playing? What Nindies have you been playing this week?
Oh, I was bad this week. I didn't play a single Nindie. I got caught up in AAA fever.
Gasp.
I bought Astral Chain, I got Control, and I got
Ben's
Man
pissed. You hear him? You hear him breathing back there? He's pissed.
He's like, this fucking asshole.
How are we going to survive without you buying the Nindies?
Listen, the Switch I own is like 85% Nindie games, okay? But every now and then, you got to support a AAA title. Because they need all the money they can get, those poor bastards.
Those poor bastards, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not entirely untrue.
See? Ben knows. Ben knows the deal.
Yeah, and I also play a little bit of Man of Medan.
Man of Medan. All right, yeah. So tell us about Astral Chain.
It's so good.
Yeah, this is a good spot to talk. Good. Tell us about it. Give us your thoughts. Give us like a, you know, I don't know, 2-minute thoughts on Astral Chain.
So I thought it was just going to be about kicking ass with this little buddy that's chained to you.
Sure.
Like, there's like a dog companion, this sword guy, there's a combat guy, like different types of like summons basically, but they're chained to your character and they do combos and they fight alongside you basically, like a little AI character.
Sure.
I thought it was just going to be about that. There's like a whole other detective mode thing part of the game.
Uh-huh.
Because you play as a cop.
Right.
And before each mission, you have to go through a city and gather clues and solve, like, a crime. And you can, like, arrest people with your little astral chain guy, too, by wrapping around them and, like, arresting them. So that caught me off guard, that there was this whole other layer to it that I hadn't really known about until I started playing it. And it's kind of neat. And you get quizzed when you gather up clues, like, okay, so-and-so said this about what they saw. What were its main qualities? So you pick from your clues, and if you answer it right, you get bonuses.
Interesting.
And,
it's your typical, like, after a combat, you're graded, you know, F right. through S, it plus, you, plus,
it,
or whatever.
Like, there's no rank that I saw. It just gives you bonus, like, extra money or currency based on how much time you spent, your combos, your, you know,
right.
how you do it in combat, more or less.
It's a platinum game.
Right. It's, and again,
I was just gonna ask. This is a Platinum Games game, right?
Right. So yep. You know the gameplay is spot on.
I mean, is it like, does it play like Bayonetta or Revengeance or any of those? Or
you know what? It has shades of all of their library. I can see like Nier's in there, some Bayonetta. Like you can tell that it's one of their games by how it plays, but it feels very different. The gameplay. Mm-hmm. It's so silky smooth though.
You know,
like, at first it feels a little bit complex with a lot of things. Like there's your astral chain thing called the Legion. That's your summoning guy. And there's a gun, there's a sword, there's like a lot of elements to it. But once you start playing, it all kind of ties in very nicely together.
Mm. So when, you know, one of the issues that I had with these types of games when playing on, let's say, the Vita, like when I played, what was that game where you're the prisoner and you have to like lessen your sentence? Do you remember that one? Ooh, that action game? What was that?
You're a prisoner and you're listening to
your sentence. Yeah, you're arrested and you do missions for the government, and then it lessens your prison sentence. Like you have like a 1,000-year sentence and then you like lessening it or whatever it is. I forget the name of the game, but it the issue that I always had with those fast-paced action games is the smaller screen kind of makes it difficult to keep up with and keep the camera centered where you need it to be. Can you talk a little bit about how the cameras utilize in handheld mode and like how it feels to play in handheld mode?
Well, you know, I've been playing the game mainly in handheld mode.
Okay.
And no complaints so far. It feels very comfortable because, you know, it's essentially B is your dodge button. And the trigger buttons are your summon, your legion, and your attack button. You lock on with the right stick. And that also controls your camera as well.
Hmm.
But yeah, it feels like any other third-person action game. And it controls really, really well. So yeah, no complaints there.
Yeah, cool. I finally, after... So you know I have Coffee Crisis on Genesis, but
right.
I have like the actual physical Genesis cart.
Did you finally get it for Switch?
But I did. I finally bought it for Switch. I was streaming the other night, and Maltese was in the chat, and he told me he bought it on Switch because it was pretty cheap. So I went in there, and it was like $4 or something like that. So I was like, you know what? Let me download it finally and actually play it. And that's what I've been playing. Coffee Crisis. If you're a fan of the old school side scroller beat 'em ups, it is actually. I'm curious to see how it runs on Genesis because there are a shit ton of enemies on the screen, like way more than I think the Genesis can handle. So I'm actually curious to see if there were any concessions made in that. Cause I know there's usually parody, like, Mega Cat usually does parody across all of their platforms. Like they make the games for the old school consoles. So I'm really curious to see. Cause like at one point I was fighting like four grandmas, three little aliens, two grandpas, like five big aliens, and like there's all sorts of shit going on. There's filters that were messing up the screen, like really screwing with me. I don't know. I think I need to play that game on easy because that game was kicking my ass.
Did you find your Genesis in your dad's storage space?
Yeah. I got the Genesis now. Yes, I do. I don't know if I have VG cable or whatever the hell it is, but I definitely have that. Ben, have you been playing any Nindies or you know? Any fun games lately?
Well, so I just downloaded Octogeddon. I know it's not exclusive to Switch, but I've been having a blast with that one.
Which one? Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
Octogeddon.
I don't know this one. Explain. Expound.
So it's a you control an octopus. Well, you don't really control him. You just move his rotation, and you got things coming around like subs and boats and. Just a crazy amount of things you got to manage, and you try to hit them with your tentacles. But the cool thing is that you can attach different pieces to his tentacles.
Ooh.
So you can attach crab claws and snake heads and chickens and all kinds of different.
What the hell?
it is super cool. It plays more like a mobile game, I guess, because. It's got kind of that loop where you play through it, you die, you get some coins, you buy stuff from the shop, and you kind of keep repeating that loop to get further and further. A little bit like Jetpack Joyride or... did you guys ever play Shuchimi?
Oh, I haven't.
No, I have not.
Yeah, that's another fantastic... I don't think it's for Switch, but I definitely picked it up on Wii U back in the day.
Ooh, little Wii U, Wii U love, ladies and gentlemen. I know some of you out there still have your Wii U.
Is it Octo?
I still have my Wii U hooked up. I love I refuse to buy Mario Kart for the Switch because I already have it. So anytime I want to play Mario Kart, I have to, you know, boot up the Wii U. And
was there crossplay on that? There isn't, right?
I don't think so.
That'd be neat.
I don't play online, so
You're a lot like me, Ben. I'm scared of people.
It's not that I'm scared of people. I just don't like interacting with people online for the most part.
Accurate.
And Mario Kart's pretty good because you don't talk to anyone.
Right.
You know, but if it's a game where there's talky bits or, you know, there's a chat log or something, I can't do it.
I don't want to play Mario Kart online because I know that I'm losing to like an 8-year-old. I just know it. And that just pisses me off. I don't want to lose to an 8-year-old. So I don't play online.
The great thing about that is, though, you don't know you're losing to an 8-year-old.
But I know it. Okay. But I know it, Ben.
In your heart, you know this kid is like 6 and he's kicking my butt.
He's got the drift on. All right, so pissing
his pants.
That is what we have been playing this week. That's what we recommend this week. But there are games coming out for the rest of this week. So let's get into Nintendo's new releases before we get into the lead story here, as it's loading up, as it tends to do. This website takes forever. Andy, okay, here we go. We're good. All right.
Loading up for me too.
It just takes forever. I don't know what's going on with this site. Okay, we got a lot of good stuff. Right off the bat, we have the Final Fantasy VIII Remastered coming out. That HD remaster actually looks really good, so I'm excited about that. I might actually have to pick that up, although it's hard for me to support them with all these re-releases because they charge a ton of money, but this they're only charging $20 for, so we'll see.
$20,
not bad at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was Final Fantasy VII? That was 14?
I don't remember, because I know that when it came out on, what was it, mobile, it was $20. And then Steam, I think it might have been $25. And then it was the shitty version. And then they had to redo it, or like they had to fix like a bunch of glitches that I don't know. But Final Fantasy VIII, it doesn't get the love it deserves, but I think it's a fantastic Final Fantasy game. Spyro. Yeah, the card game is fun. Spyro Reignited Trilogy is coming out on the set tomorrow as well. As you're listening to this, that's where it's at. Barrier X is coming out. Don't know anything about that game. But then Torchlight 2, my friends. Torchlight 2 is coming out, and that's only $20. If you got yourself like $40, you could get two top-tier games here. Finn and the Ancient Mystery is coming out this week. Root Letter Last Answer. That's $30, so that's, I don't know, probably some sort of story game. What do you think, Andy? Waifu story game? Oh, it's asking for my age. Andy, it's asking for my age.
Yeah, you know, it's my kind of games.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Design.
Quarters, Please is coming out as well. But that's coming out, ladies and gentlemen, get this, on your Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, shit, we still make games for that?
3DS no is idea. Not dead yet. River City Girls is coming out this week.
Hell
on the
yeah.
5th. Hell to the yeah. $30 though, Andy.
Ooh.
$30. Listen, we don't tell people FFA. How to spend their money, although we do, but most of the time, I mean, $30 is a lot to ask for, you know, a retro-style beat-em-up. I don't know.
But those pixels cost money.
The pixels cost money.
Looks.
It does look beautiful.
It's not sexy as hell.
It's
not worth
it's
every goddamn
very
penny.
Sexy. It's very sexy. I'm not going to lie. Spice and Wolf VR. That's right. It says VR.
Wait, what? VR? Okay.
Yep. Don't know about that.
Is it like a labo required to play this game?
I don't know. It's probably like Valiant Revenant or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what it stands for. It looks like one of them romance things, because I think I see a best boy with a horse. And a waifu.
Virtuous rectum.
Gnome's Garden Lost King. What else we got? As Divine Menace. The As Divine series is very popular, I've heard.
I never heard of it. So
only $13. It's only $13. 50 words by Poogie. Yay. Battle Supremacy Ground Assault. That looks like a tank game. Hyper Forma. I want to look at that. That looks interessante. It's not asking for my age, Andy.
Off the bat, I would pass. Hard pass.
Loading. All right, let's see what we got. All I'm seeing is screen. What is this? Okay. This looks like a... I don't know what I'm doing in this video game.
I want a game that makes you submit to a background check.
A shoot 'em up? Is this like a shooter? I don't know. It doesn't. Let's see what the description says. The gameplay of High Performer represents a reinvention of classic puzzle-based arcade that is viewed as a hacking process of sophisticated virtual defense systems. That's a sentence.
What game is this?
Hyperforma. Whatever it is, they put it in Google Translate and they tried to make a sentence.
I think half of the descriptions, by the way, on that website. butchered English.
Wupo! Definitive edition. In case you didn't know, we needed a definitive edition of Wupo or Wupo. We're getting one this week, ladies and gentlemen, on the 5th. We have If My Hearts Had Wings, that has a waifu on the cover. So I'm sure that's great. The Battle of Mahjong. Wow. Pocket Clothier? I don't know. Space Cows. I've heard good things about Space Cows.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Space Cows.
That looks like a lot of fun, to be honest. No joke.
Yeah. Then Headliner Nova News. I think that's like a news anchor simulator.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we really should do, Andy? We should use all of our Patreon money to buy every game that comes out during the week. Like, split it down the middle between you and I. We pick games, we buy everything, and we just play everything. Watch out, Headliner. All right, what is this?
Oh my God.
Okay. Award-winning adventure where you control the news and its impact on society, your friends, and career. Different choices lead to unique combinations of endings. See, this actually looks pretty interesting. I love the art style. It's very cool. All right. Yeah, so Headliner, I might try that out. I don't know. We'll see. I might dip into the old Patreon funds and buy that game. Just saying. Super Jumpy Ball, Andy.
Yay.
Hooray, I'm helping.
How much more is there in this week?
There's so much, Andy. Remothered, Tormented Fathers.
Oh, that's a great little horror game. Mm. Love it on PC. Got it on PS4 as well. May buy it a third time, because why not?
Now, Ben, I'm sorry that this is taking so long. I really want to get into the lead story, but this right here is some bullshit. Tetris 99 plus a 12-month Nintendo Switch online individual membership for $30.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Wait a minute. Let's go back a little bit. Uh-huh. Are they trying to package a free game with a $20 service and say, it's a deal, guys, $30?
Yep.
Is that what's happening right there?
Correct.
No way.
Correct.
No way.
Correct. Now,
physical release, or is this...
Yep. Well, who knows what's in there? It says physical.
But it could just be a code.
Correct.
Ooh, that would be icky.
That sounds... No. That should not be happening.
Does it come with extra stuff that they sold for Tetris 99?
Here's what it comes with. 12-month Nintendo Switch Online membership. Tetris 99, obviously, the 99 mode. Play against 98 players online or on 49v49 teams, locally with friends, additional games and systems required, sold separately, or in marathon mode by yourself. So it has those added modes. I don't know if those were sold separately. I don't remember. Strategize your moves and target opponents at random. Blah, 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 blah. Acquire KO badges. Nintendo Switch Online required. That is some bullshit.
So they described the game, which is fine.
Yep.
But no reason why you're paying $10 extra for this.
No.
If it's a physical version, which I doubt it is, probably just an e-code.
Right.
The game is worth $10.
Yeah, sure.
This free game is worth $10.
Yeah.
All right, and the last two games here are Creature in the Well.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And NBA 2K20, which apparently is a gambling simulator. Have you heard about that,
Andy? That was in the news. Yeah, there was a whole bit about, there was an ad for the game, and it was like, you can put real money down for some shit, and then they really quickly.
You could put real money to buy like the fake currency, and then you could use the fake currency in literal slot machines. They're literally slot machines. You pull a lever or lever, wherever, what side of the pond you're on, and you win like cards or whatever.
So you don't win more fake currency though, do you?
That's literally what you just win fake shit.
So we've gone from loot boxes to being, maybe it's gambling.
Actual
now
casinos.
Now full on gambling.
Yes, now we're actual casinos.
Are you gonna buy that game?
There's no chance in hell I would buy that game. I haven't bought a basketball game since I think NBA Live, like, I don't know, 2003, maybe.
When did NBA Jam come out?
NBA Jam, yeah, that was pretty fantastic.
Basketball or NBA Hang Time, maybe.
Oh no! You know what? I bought Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey.
Ooh, that's almost a basketball game. That's very close.
I sports games in general, but like,
I buy
basketball games.
It's been a while since I bought like one of the proper major sports video games, but I'm thinking I might do NHL this year. I don't know. It's hard for me to justify sitting down and playing 3 hours of a sports game when I could play any of the backlog story-driven games that I have sitting here that I haven't finished. Detroit Become Human, The Witcher, both South Park games, Assassin's Creed, Resident Evil. I still have to finish Days Gone, Horizon, Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, and 3. I mean, I have plenty of games to play here.
1, 2, and 3. 2.5, 1.5.
1.8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, I have, and not to mention all of my Nintendo Switch backlog. But anyway, speaking of backlog, something's going to be added to this backlog, and it's Robo Puzzle Smash. Ben!
Hello!
Let's talk about Robot Puzzle Smash. Let's do the thing. How are you, first of all? I want to ask you how you're doing.
I'm doing great. What do you want to know?
I know. Let's loosen up a little bit, okay? We just read basically the friggin', I don't know, War and Peace for the releases this week. So first, why don't you tell our listeners, give us the elevator pitch. What is Robot Puzzle Smash? Let's start
there. Get the name right. Robo.
I am dyslexic. Okay. It happens. My brain fills in the middle and I apologize. Robo Puzzle Smash.
I'll give you the elevator pitch. So it is a competitive puzzle game. It's kind of a love letter to Capcom's Puzzle Fighter, but we have some really cool twists in the game. Our biggest twist we have is the ability to rotate the playfield around, so you can change gravity anytime you want. All the pieces come tumbling down, which really sets up super cool dynamics to that style of game. I'm assuming your listeners know what Puzzle Fighter is. It's a one-on-one fighting puzzle game. So you take a turn, break some blocks. It sends an attack over to your opponent. They do the same thing. It's all happening real time. And you're trying to bury them in blocks before they can bury you in blocks, essentially.
Okay.
You've taken the two things that I'm horrible at, puzzle games and fighting games, and put them together. If you add in how to date girls in there too, you'd have a trifecta of things I'm horrible at.
We were trying to add in a dating sim, but it just didn't pan out.
Well, who knows? Maybe the Kickstarter blows expectations. And
No, absolutely not. We're not doing that.
Stretch goals. That's all I'm saying. So I know you got like a special meter on the bottom here. It's a special KO. Can you talk about some of those mechanics real quick?
Yeah, sure. So just like in what is that game? Street Fighter.
That's the one.
Like Super Street Fighter.
That game I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that game I'm thinking of. Super Street Fighter. Basically, every time you take an attack or do a little bit of damage, it fills up a little super meter down at the bottom. And then you can trade those in at any time for an attack. So you hit your two buttons together. That creates a disco ball on the plate. We call it the disco ball, but it's really just a wild breaker. And that allows you to break anything at any time as long as that bar is filled up. So what it does is it adds more of a back and forth, like a fighting game, than just like something like Dr. Mario, where you're just waiting around for pieces, or even like Puzzle Fighter. You're kind of building up and you're kind of trying to like set up attacks, but you're waiting a lot of the game for things to happen. This also makes the game a lot faster. So it's always just breakneck speed the entire time, where a game of Puzzle Fighter can last, you know, you get two good players together and you can be playing for 10 minutes, you know, just trying to fill up each other's playfields.
So do the characters have different abilities or different traits that they take with them, or is it just as for aesthetics only?
They each play with different sets of colors. Okay. So we have some characters that play with three colors, some that play with up to five colors. And then we have our Dan character as a special unlockable that only plays with green. So he only has one color. And that is the colors that you spawn on your side. So those are also going to be the only colors that you're going to drop on your opponent.
Okay, so they're like roadblocks, essentially. They're like how does the opponent get rid of the color that they don't have, that they don't use?
Wild breakers.
Got it.
That's what that special meter's for.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty cool.
So there's a lot of like sort of metagame there in the character that will play well against another character. So for example, we have a character that has Paco has three colors, and then Dragonite has those same three colors plus one additional color. So that's going to play really different against each other than a character that has, say, three completely different colors.
Do you know who what opponent you're going up against? Like, do you know who somebody's picking, or is it always is it kept from you? How do you handle that?
Well, you have it's like a Street Fighter where you have a timer. And you've got to pick your character within a certain amount of time. So during tournaments that we run tournaments at conventions all the time, we've seen people like hesitate over characters and then like switch at the last minute to try to fake out their opponents.
Right.
But normally it's just you've got to kind of change your tactics up to be successful against a character that you wouldn't normally like... that has different color sets than you're like naturally good at.
Right. Yeah.
It's a lot like, putting up like Zangief against, Dhalsim or something like that, or Chun-Li, you've got to like kind of change up your strategy a little bit anyone can be successful against any of the characters. It's just how you play against them might change a little bit.
Right. Interesting.
We gotta play this, Steven, in our next stream. What do you think, Tuesday? You want to get on this?
Tuesday?
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, are we gonna say that we're gonna play something and then we can't play online and then we're mad at each other?
No, listen, over here it says on Steam, online play. Okay. So it's a thing we can do.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. So you're essentially right smack in the middle of a Kickstarter here. Do you want to talk about your Kickstarter and how that's been going and you want to pitch your Kickstarter to our listeners?
I mean, sure, certainly. So we do have a Kickstarter for the game right now. It's Robo Puzzle Smash is out on Steam, and we're trying to bring it to Nintendo Switch. Basically, we need dev kits and. There's a few minor changes we want to make to the game, just around some of the old UI stuff. The intro has some old game footage in it that we're trying to edit out, things like that. But the game is complete on Steam. It's got online play, and we're trying to put that on Switch, and we're running a Kickstarter for it.
Are there any sort of...
Kickstarter is not going fantastically. I thought we'd be there by now, but... you know, it's.
I think you'll get there.
Yeah. So,
you're
one of my questions.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I was going to say, so the game launched November of last year on Steam. And when did you say to yourself, okay, now I want to get this game on Switch? What was that decision like for you? How'd you get to that point, to the Kickstarter itself?
So we always wanted to put the game
specifically.
Oh yeah, yeah. We always wanted to put the game on console.
Okay, cool.
It's just a game that you sit down and you play together. We do have online modes, but it's like a fighting game. You want to play with someone in the same room, so console is the place to do that. We originally were targeting Wii U, and we got it running on Wii U, and it played fantastic on Wii U, and we just didn't get it out the door in time.
Hence your Wii still being hooked up in your house.
Well, I mean, despite the Wii U still being hooked up in my house, yes. It does function on Wii U. I mean, it's sitting on months and months and months old build.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't take it, any further than, getting it up and running. We approached Nintendo a couple times. We finally talked to someone at GDC who put us in touch with the right people. And we just got Nintendo developer approval. Just a couple months ago.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the backstory and development of this game? Because I'm always curious to know what's your background? Where did you come from? How did you and your team come to create Robo Puzzle Smash?
My background is, it's ancient history now, but I started as an animator and got sucked into production. I worked at Namco Bandai for quite a few years and on the PS2 era titles. Did a lot of Game Boy Advance PS2 games.
Nice.
And then Snoopy versus the Red Baron is fantastic on PS2.
Oh yeah, that's actually a really good game.
It is.
Holy shit, that's a really good game.
I was the producer on that game.
That was all me. One man team.
I remember reading. I feel like I read a GamePro review of that game.
Yeah, that game was reviewed very favorably, if I recall. Holy shit! I gotta play that later. I'm gonna dig that shit up.
It's a phenomenal game. I also did stuff like Curious George. I was the guy working on the kids licensed PS2 and Game Boy titles.
It was you against THQ is essentially what you're saying.
It was me against THQ. I mean, there was a few of us in the department working on that stuff, but that was my bread and butter was licensed properties, especially low budget licensed properties. I love working on that stuff. Like, it's just so much fun.
So you loved it. And how did you get out of it? Like what brought you to doing your own thing?
I started working on more like web game stuff. I worked at Gaia, online for a while doing all their, mini game, web game stuff. Better Rule. I was a producer there. I got into my own stuff when everyone lost their job around 2008 and we moved out of California.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that? I remember that time.
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
That was the thing that happened.
Yeah, so I started doing more contract work on the development side. Web games and web apps, mobile stuff. And in the time when I'm not doing third-party development for other people, that's when I'm rolling my own games.
So let's talk about how you got into the creation of Robo. How did that come about? Was that something that, like, was it just an idea on paper and you said, hey, you know what, I got time, let me throw some of this together? Did you have a small team? Did you have, like, trusted people that were able to get in there? How much of this was all you, essentially?
So the game started pretty much on a flight, I think, back home from GDC one year. I was just wrapping up a mobile game that Star Saver. It did okay, but, you know, whatever.
Star Saver?
And, Star Saver. Hmm. It was a physics platformer released right around 2011 when everyone was completely sick of physics platformers.
Yes.
Puzzle platformer things. So just on a whim, I, you know, work on little prototypes, just to see if it's what kind of what's in my head actually works. So on a flight back from GDC one year, I, in 3 or 4 hours, put together a little puzzle game with a little rotation mechanic. So it was made for mobile. You pushed a little, you tapped a little button or tapped a, one of the squares, all of the connected ones broke and everything fell down. And it was fun. You turned the little iPad around and, you know, it, everything fell according to your position of the iPad. And it was cool. Demoed it to a few people and no one understood how to play it. So, yeah. So, I thought that that rotation mechanic had some merit and tried to figure out how to teach people to play the game. And that's kind of where we landed on building a competitive game where we had two play fields at the same time. You could see the CPU doing something. So you're like, aha, I understand. It's all about the rotation. We took that to conventions and people really responded to it. So we just kept, I mean, my design sense is just keep noodling and eventually you'll get somewhere. So it was just me for the longest time trying to noodle out how a game like this might play. And then, I got in touch with a guy named Jason Pogue who, kind of set the art style for it and started on the kind of graphic design portion of it. And yeah, from there we just churned out more content, kept tuning the game to be faster, a little bit, you know, more aggressive, taking it to conventions, getting feedback from conventions, tuning it to be more aggressive until now we got this game that's like just sweaty palms the entire time you're playing.
Oh, we got to play, Steven. This sounds a lot like, remember that game Collapsis we demoed, Steven?
Yes, yeah, it does. Yeah, I was just going to bring that up, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I know those guys.
Hey, oh shit, there it is. It all comes full circle.
Yeah, they totally copied everything. We've been showing it a lot of the same shows that they go to. So we talk to them all the time. It's a fantastic game.
That's really neat.
But we kind of both arrived at that same gravity, sort of everything falls. And their game looks a lot like sort of the early versions of Puzzle Smash. And then we both kind of went different directions on what the focus of the game is.
Right. That could be a fun collaboration between both you guys. I see
well,
it.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything.
Oh, shit. Steven, news. We got big announcements. Here we go.
This might be exclusive.
Hot off the presses.
So I know that they're trying to get other characters in their game, and one of the Puzzle Smash characters might make an appearance in their game, too.
Oh,
shit.
Huh.
I'm going to DM Jay right now.
Dear Jay.
We know all the things. We know your secrets.
Guess what? We're on to you, sir.
I don't know for sure if it's going to happen.
I feel like it has to happen.
It's something that I think would be super cool.
I'm going to put Jay on blast on Twitter. It doesn't happen. Like, you son of a gun.
Jay, we have heard that it is 100% factual that this is
100%
happening.
Confirmed that.
And if not, it's all entirely your fault.
Correct. Right you are. Right you are. So I want to ask you, because it seems like you were just kind of messing around and you came up with this mechanic and you did this thing, but did you grow up playing these types of puzzle games? Was it something that you just had an itch to make, or was it just basically a victim of circumstance, like you were just kind of messing around and that's what happened?
I mean, little of both. I mean, I love Puzzle Fighter. I played the heck out of that in college. I basically bought Puzzle Fighter. I think I bought it the day it came out. We had gotten that demo disc with, I think they had the Symphony of the Night video on it, Puzzle Fighter, and got something else, Bushido Blade. And
demo discs were the best, weren't they?
I had that.
Yeah, I was instantly hooked on Puzzle Fighter. We played that Ken versus Ryu match just nonstop in our apartment. And
like when I was a broke kid,
I was over and over again. We had a bunch of friends. We actually each put in like $10, and we bought the game for the apartment.
Oh my god!
And I since have it. I think I have it on 3 consoles now. I got it on the Saturn. I have it on the PlayStation. I think I have it on Game Boy Advance.
Was that the one that that they decided to stop doing on mobile? Like they just said, okay, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man. Jeez. Well,
like, it was an online-only game on mobile, which is dumb. Like, if you want to play in the subway, go quicker with the computer character, it was no dice.
True.
Yeah, I never played that version, but I don't know exactly how you would play Puzzle Fighter on mobile. I mean, we've thought a couple times about bringing Puzzle Smash to mobile, but it doesn't feel right. Like I can't get my head around how you would kind of translate that sort of twitch control to mobile and make it feel right.
That's kind of true.
Didn't it have like a lot of those microtransaction timer bullshits? Like you could only do like 5 matches or some shit like that until it reloaded.
That didn't help it. Yeah. It's like Dr. Mario now. It's like,
oh my god, how awful is that?
That game works on a mobile app and it's just overstuffed with
just make the game
microtransactions. I'll pay for it. I don't care if it's free. I'll pay you $10.
It doesn't even
a quality version of the game. I'll do that.
Make a game, put 30 levels in the game, say, yay, you did it. You could continue playing these 30 levels and it's 100% free. Or you could pay us, you know, $2 and you get 10 more levels, and then we're going to put out more levels, and you could always give us $2 and we'll always give you more levels until the end of time. Here you go. Congratulations. Man, no.
I can't. I'm picturing like trying to support a game forever like that, and it just makes my skin crawl. Like I like shipping games. I like getting them out the door, and then I like kind of being done with them.
Yeah, but I mean, Dr. Mario, I mean, really, how hard could it be to just make more puzzles? You know? You're just making puzzles.
What are you really going to do after like level 20?
Listen, yeah, after the first release, the formula's done. Let's get it out there.
Just put new diseases in there, like new things, like parasites. Like, oh, that would be cool. Like if you have, all right, now we're getting in the weeds here. But if you had like the incorrect color, on one of the little viruses, he becomes a parasite and he turns that other color into his color. Or like, no, that wouldn't make sense. But he,
you do mutations. That's what you do. Like
yeah.
You mute the viruses.
Yes.
You fuck up.
Yes.
Okay, now we're talking a lot of scope creep.
Here we go. Let's do it.
But that could be a fun deal.
Ben, it's easy, okay? We said it's easy.
It's
We've never made a game in our lives, but man, is that easy to do. Just, I mean, I think you just need to stop complaining and just start doing. You know what I'm saying, Ben?
You can argue it's come true. So back around to the Kickstarter. So essentially, the dev kit is that's only holding you back from having this game on the Switch, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, we need, if we want the online mode, which, you know, I think it's necessary, then we need a couple dev kits to test on. And, you know, make sure the game performs and, you know, everything else. The actual physical porting of it isn't too difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, I've ripped it apart a few times, put it back together. And we have a version that runs extraordinarily well. It's super light. I mean, the game by itself plays on, I think our one demo unit's a Core 2 Duo with like a $30 video card I like got at Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
So the game is pretty light. It should perform fantastic. But, you know, you never know until you actually get it on hardware and you start seeing what's going wrong and what you got to optimize and
All the bullshit that comes with it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's porting for consoles. You're stuck with a very like limited amount of resources. So you got to work around the resources you got. And I mean, Unity scales pretty well, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that we're going to have to just optimize and make faster. The other thing we're putting in is a four-player mode, so you can play with two sets of Joy-Con, and you get four play fields.
Now it's like Smash with puzzles. Oh, God.
It is like Smash with puzzles.
Oh, God. So I think I'm terrible at Smash Brothers.
And that might be opening up a whole new can of worms. I don't know yet.
So what I'm hearing is, mm-hmm. one of you will have Paco as the next character in Smash Brothers. Is that what you're telling me? Ben?
That's the fifth character.
That's absolutely the character confirmed.
That's the one that's missing.
This guy's getting more work than Shovel Knight. Is it going to be in Collapse? Is it going to be in Smash?
Yeah.
All over the place.
I love it. All right. Ben, tell us one more time where everybody can go to that Kickstarter if they want to support you and get this thing on the Nintendo Switch.
So, if you search for Robo Puzzle Smash on Kickstarter, you'll find it. You can go to our webpage. It's robopuzzlesmash.com, and there's a link there to the Kickstarter. You could follow me on Twitter. I mostly just hang out there and rant for the most part about programming crap.
Sounds thrilling. These ones and 001s. Damn that Python thing. I actually have a friend from high school that I follow on Twitter, and he tweets nothing but Python stuff, mm-hmm. and sometimes the Jets, but it's mostly, if you can do this with this and the compile this and then the Python that, and I'm like, who's listening? Who's listening to this? I have no idea what you're saying.
I think he's having a stroke.
It's possible. It's possible. All right. We will also put the link to your Kickstarter campaign in the description of our show. So, if you like what you hear and you're looking for a cool competitive puzzle fighting game and you want it on your Nintendo Switch, you can go over to that Kickstarter and you can support. This is not just paid. This is not an advertisement. This is just a guest coming on here telling you about their project. And now,
again, full disclosure,
yes.
We do back this project. It looks fucking awesome.
Yes. But that's neither here nor there, Andy.
Of course.
Ethics. Ethics. Do you have a nosebleed? No, you don't have a nosebleed.
Ethics.
We're fine.
Game of journalism.
All right. It is time, Ben and Andy, to get into the Nintendo News Report. We have a couple of interesting news bits to get into. The first one spells doom. Andy, take it away.
It does spell doom. Hold on, the page is loading. So Doom 64 rated by the Australian Classification Board.
Australia getting involved here.
What's going on?
Uh-huh.
We recently got Doom 1, 2, and 3.
We did, yep.
On the Switch.
Yep.
And then Doom 64 makes an appearance. What could this mean?
What can it mean now?
Now, would this be only for Nintendo systems if it's Doom 64?
Interesting.
Could it be on the 3DS? Probably not. Is this somehow hinting towards the 64 library coming to the Switch in some way?
I doubt that.
Probably not. But yeah, it's just a weird, weird thing that came up today.
Now let me ask you this.
Ask me away.
What if they make Doom... Doom 4 through 63, just so they can do Doom 64 without having to make it a Nintendo 64 thing.
That's quite the backlog you'd have.
Well,
right there.
I mean, it's semantics. It's all about bleeps and bloops, copy paste, just change the worlds around a little bit, make the weapons a little different. I mean, you're fine. It's programming 101, Andy. It's very simple.
I'm trying to think what was so special about Doom 64.
I just heard Ben have a stroke.
He's like, oh my god, 63 more Doom games, give them to me.
Now, Doom 64 was really cool. Just the levels were awesome. And it was neat having Doom on the 64 at the time.
Yeah, it was. Damn right it was. Let's get it back for the Switch. I'd be into that.
Mm.
You know right? what? I just bought Doom 1, and I'm working my way through the last episode, and I'm just about doomed out.
Ooh.
Like, just about classic doomed out at this point. I don't know if I'm gonna continue my saga with Doom 2 or not.
Hey, take a break, palate cleanse.
Play Doom 3 though. You gotta do it.
Oh, I love Doom 3. It's not the same game, you know. Doom 64 is a little bit more, you know, classic Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
We need more classic Doom in our lives.
Moving on to the next bit of news, Astral Chain is being review bombed because people are just stupid as all shit. So
this is the dumbest thing I've read this week.
Gamers, and I use that term very loosely, are upset that Astral Chain is not on other platforms and only on Nintendo, and thus they are going to the Metacritic page and flooding it with 0 out of 10 scores. But right after it launched on August 30th. This comes from GameRant.com. It seems as though Astral Chain is being review bombed simply because it's a Nintendo Switch exclusive. The game's Metacritic page was flooded with 0 out of 10 shortly after its launch on August 30th, which made its user rating plummet. However, fans have since rallied behind the game, countering the negative reviews with 10 out of 10 scores. So there is now 667 positive scores and 299 negative scores. So almost 300 asshats tried to review bomb. So that's actually not a terrible number. I thought it would be, you know, in the tens of thousands, but only 300 of you are jerk-offs. The result is that the Astral Chain user score is now sitting at a 7 on Metacritic, indicating mixed or average reviews by comparison. Its critic score is 87 based on 58 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. Now, I have two questions for you. One is the obvious question of can gamers just stop being assholes? And two, should Metacritic go in and start deleting these 0 out ofs and the 10s for that matter, because it's obviously, or just lock it and say, no, you're not allowed to do this now. You've all lost your privileges. I said, good day, sir. And we'll start with Ben. What do you think?
Does anyone pay attention to the user score?
Not me. Ever. Ever.
I was going to say, I don't even think I've looked at it. Who was Astral Chain published by?
I believe it was published by...
Did Nintendo publish it?
I think Nintendo published it, yes, yeah. But I'm just double checking. There's no link there. Switch exclusive. There we go.
We're reading bad information.
Beep, blop, bloop, bleep, blop.
You get first for us.
Platinum Games. Doesn't say, but I'll keep looking up. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
I don't think it's fair to label like this isn't a gamer thing. Like gamers being assets, it's just a bunch of petulant children who are mad that they can't have this game on their system that they have at their house.
A bunch or five?
Well, or 300? We don't really know.
300.
Yeah.
Well, 300.
It is published by Nintendo.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't see how this game could get that many negative reviews that weren't total bullshit. It's a great game. Now, perfect 10, that's... I wouldn't give it that. It's like an 8.5 for me. It's like... It's an excellent title. But, again, what you have here is... I don't know how people feel... The argument is, don't you want this game on more systems? Don't you want it to do better? Why are you limiting it? This is how a business works. You have to incentivize people to want to buy a product on a particular system. If I want to buy this game, I got to buy a Switch. That's why I'm buying a Switch, to play these games. Mario, Zelda, Mario Kart, Mario Party, Smash, it's all Nintendo. So when I don't play those, I got to buy a Switch. No one says, oh, but what if we had Mario on PS4? Be a much wider audience. No, fuck you. Not how it works. And you have a bunch of kids who are just butthurt because they can't afford a Switch. And they're mad at that. That's all it is. That's
displaced anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think Metacritic should just shut down the user scores. I mean, Steam does it where at least they curate those scores. Like, they push the ones that actually make sense with like a little write-up, like they'll push those at the top. So you could say, hey, this guy gave it a thumbs down. Let me read and see what his thoughts are. If it's OMZMG, I wish I can remap button on control. Negative review. like maybe I don't care about that review because like
you know it's funny we talk about this whole getting review bomb because they can't. It's only on the Switch. There was a recent comment made by Sony how the Persona IP is very important to them, and right. they want to keep it very in house, like it's big for their platform. And there was a bunch of feedback saying how it's bullshit. They shouldn't be gatekeeping the series. They should let it go to other platforms. And I'm thinking, this is why I don't want to buy the next Xbox system, because I know that I can play their games on my PC.
Right.
That's how a business works. Like, if you want to have people give them a reason to buy your system, then you have to have exclusivity. Just how, it's the only way you can do it, essentially.
Or services that are unmatched, you know.
And also, it kind of guarantees a quality. If this game is going to be only on one system, it's going to be made with a certain pedigree and with great attention to detail, because they know it has to push system sales in some way. But if it's an open platform thing, then they can kind of half-ass it. Say, oh, we'll do sales from 20 consoles. No one's going to care what the quality is. Like, let's make it up in sales.
Yeah.
People are just saying, people annoy me. Kids annoy me. My rant's over.
Ben, final thoughts.
I mean, Robo Puzzle Smash is awesome. You're going to love that.
There it
but
is.
But only on Switch, Ben.
Yeah, right now only on Switch.
PS4 or Xbox.
And really the reason we're like only on Switch is just because porting to multiple platforms for us at the same time is just something we can't do. I don't have the resources. I don't have the bandwidth.
Of course.
And, you know, I think a lot of, a lot of third party decision like from publishers is, I worked on the publishing side. So like, you know, you dedicate your resources to where you think you're going to be successful. And something like Puzzle Smash, I think is going to be, you know, I think it's built for a Nintendo audience. Like, I think the look and the feel just lines up really well with that.
Yeah, total sense. Note to self, and review bomb Puzzle Smash when it comes out on Switch.
You know what? Review bomb away. The more attention I get, the better. I don't care. Like, if someone wants to buy 100 copies on Steam to leave 100 negative reviews, feel free.
All right, Steve, let's manufacture some outrage, get some attention towards this game on Kickstarter.
Do it. I think it could be done. I think we have the power. All right, Andy, let's go into the next story here. This you threw in here, and I don't know what it is because it's a YouTube link. So why don't you take this one away?
Mega Man Zero Collection, ZX Collection,
yes,
was announced.
Yes.
I love these games. Some of the best Mega Man games that came out later in the franchise. Post. Because you would think, after Mega Man X, they couldn't do it better. Or at least as good as the X series. But lo and behold, we got the Zero franchise after X. And it was amazing. And it made you want to buy a fucking Game Boy Advance. Because the games are that good. See how it works, kids? How goddamn works.
See how that happened.
You make a good game for a certain console. It's like, oh shit, I gotta buy a Game Boy Advance now to enjoy these games. There were 4 games, the Game Boy Advance, and we're getting the ZX games. That ZX and ZX Advent, which were set, I think, years after the Zero franchise. Because X, Zero, and ZX all have a continuing kind of story timeline thing going on between the 3 of them. And they're coming out in one collection. I'm very excited about this. Can we just get a goddamn X9 already? Or a Legends 3?
Do you really want an X9, though?
Like I do. I want it.
Yeah.
And I want it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I
want
sure.
I want it either to look like X1 through 3, 16-bit, or X4 through 6, 32-bit.
I gave up on the X games after... I think X4.
Smart man. Because they weren't good after that.
Was X4 the last good one?
Yeah.
That was on the PS1,
right? Yeah. It was the last good one. It was Yeah, it's sad. It had those full anime cutscenes. Horrible voice acting, which was so bad it was good. Great soundtrack, great gameplay, great graphics. But yeah, X5 and oof, X6 was not great. And then 7 was, let's not go there.
Was there 8 of them?
There were 8.
Ugh.
8 wasn't that bad. 8 was...
Was that a PS2 like, game?
It was. 8 was a lot like Mega Man 11. It was 2D side-scrolling but with 3D models.
Uh-huh.
X7 tried to do like a whole 3D world thing. Was not good. Horrible, horrible game. But yeah, too little too late. And that kind of crapped out the series. Never saw it again. But one day we will.
One day. Here, listen, the last news story is a little bit of a bummer. This is coming from Nintendo Soup. Starlink failed to meet Ubisoft's sales expectations. But
yeah, this is saddening.
Yeah, but it will be used as a learning experience. Now, I did buy Starlink. I have it over here with my little R-Wing and all that fun stuff. So here's the quote here. It says, I think we gain a lot of experience working on this franchise, also for the family, and it helps us shape plans for family games that are coming for us. We always capitalize on everything we have done in the past. We have a lot of fans still playing Starlink that are happy playing Starlink, and that's what's important for us. We were expecting more out of Starlink, but it's a step in our creation process. And again, all of the experience we have garnered out of creating and marketing this game, we are very rich in this experience to market and well-placed to create better products for this type of consumer in the future. I think really the biggest thing that the biggest misstep was the actual physical toys for Starlink. Like, I think it had a really good premise of you can change what weapons and like what ships you're using and what characters you're using based on the collectibles, the physical collectibles that you can have. But I think pricing these things at like $20, $30 for like these sets was
a huge turnoff.
I think what they really could have and should have done with these types of things is possibly had one base ship that you can augment with not just guns, but like maybe wings, like you could swap the wings out or you could, you know, stuff like that. And what they could have done that would have been, I think would have been a little bit more, probably a little safer as far as money goes, instead of doing these packages where you can see what you're getting, maybe doing HeroClix like blind boxes where they're like a little sleeve and you get a character and 3 ship mods in each box. And then you could spend $15, get the things, you could trade them with your friends, whatever, you know, stuff like that. I think that would have been a cool way to do this type of thing.
I think it's a little much to ask for a brand new IP, like buy our game plus all these toys. Like when you think about, God, what's that one?
Skylanders,
thank you. At least when we had like Crash in there and, you know, Spyro the Dragon, there's some, you can market those characters and appeal to, and again, towards kids.
And they had a cartoon too.
Well, right. Yeah, Skylanders had a whole cartoon.
Yeah, and it was a whole enterprise, basically. But I feel with Starlink, it's hard to get support for it. You got to buy this and this other stuff. I feel the Star Fox thing was a nice touch for fans like us who like Star Fox and we want a new Star Fox game badly.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like just have a new Star Fox game.
I saw it once at the store and I saw it wasn't Star Fox and I'm like, I don't need to buy this.
Yeah. And I don't think you're alone. I think that a lot of people looked at it and said, this isn't Star Fox. I'm good. I'll wait till they make this as Star Fox.
Right.
That could have been an interesting thing. They could have done is made it all Star Fox characters, and if they made a Starlink and you get or Star Fox and it comes with the R-Wing and Fox, right? That's who you could play with. You put the guy in, you put it on the controller, you play Star Fox. Now, what if they sold the other characters and weapon mods in little packages that you could buy, and then that'll unlock different ways to play in Star Fox. Like, you know, if you play as, you know, Slippy, that would be a cool thing. You get the Slippy character, you swap him out, put him in the R-Wing, maybe put on his exclusive weapon that he comes with, like a sticky blaster or some shit like that. I don't know. That could be fun, no?
Yeah, it sounds better than what we got.
True.
I have so much plastic crap, though.
Yeah. This like, is like...
Isn't that like collectible toy, like Skylanders thing sort of petering out?
Yeah. No, it is. You know, I just...
Like it's like trying to sell someone a plastic guitar now.
Well, we... That may be a thing.
That's coming back.
Apparently, oh, they filed for what could be a new Guitar Hero game, apparently, and I hope it's not, because no more plastic crap in my house. Like, Steve, could you imagine Jack saying to you, hey, Daddy, can you buy me, like, 20 of these Skylander toys?
Yes. Absolutely, Jack.
but would you buy them for him?
Yes. Yes.
I'll buy them,
I have a big-time problem with buying my kid stuff. Like, if he gets into a show, I look for every toy for that show. Like, it's a problem.
Oh, my God.
Mickey Mouse. I got him all the Mickey guys. And so much so that I almost spent $75 on a custom-made Pete plushie. Because they don't make... Disney just doesn't want to make a Pete plushie. So, that pissed me off. I bought him all of the Dougie toys. We just bought him all of the Peppa Pig toys because he's obsessed with Peppa Pig now all of a sudden. Which is really funny because now he... apologizes in an English accent. He's like, I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm like, oh, God, stop it. Stop it.
Get out of my house.
Indeed. Ben, it's our favorite part of the show, everybody's favorite part. It's time to get into the hype zone.
Wait. No, there's not.
No, what?
There's one last
news. We have breaking news.
We almost forgot about this.
Okay, breaking news.
Shovel Knight Dig was announced.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah.
Holy
yeah, that was
shit. Where did this come from? I want to put my face in it. It looks so sexy.
Shovel Knight Spelunky Edition.
A collaboration between Yacht Club Games and Nitrome, which totally caught me off guard. Now, Nitrome gave us great games like Bomb Chicken.
Love that Bomb Chicken.
Among many others. But yeah, it's like full 16-bit graphic glory. It looks so fucking good.
Have you heard about this, Ben?
No.
Yeah, so they made a Shovel Knight game where the whole premise is that you're digging down and down and down and down and further down and
Mr. Driller?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
I will buy Mr. Driller again. Shoot.
And we know that Yacht Club does some great stuff, so I'm looking forward to this. And this was announced, but is it coming out next year, I think?
I think it's 2020.
Yeah.
They have a lot on their plate, Yacht Club. They're like up there with WayForward, like, we'll do 50 games at once kind of a thing.
It's weird. It's
weird. I'm still waiting for Cyber Ninja to come out. Whatever that game was called.
Yeah. what was that called? Yeah, I forget. I think it was called Cyber... I don't know. Go to our YouTube channel and watch the video of that. All right, so now it is time to get into the hype zone.
Oh, Cyber Shadow.
Cyber Shadow, yeah. Yes. Now it's time to get into the hype zone, Ben. And this is exciting stuff. This is exciting news. This is the news to end all news. We don't need any more news. Nintendo. This is very important. So I want to make sure you're listening. Nintendo has confirmed that you can pet the animals in Dragon Quest XI.
Yes.
This is very important.
This is why we have video games. I feel developers, I'm looking at you, Ben, should have a pet button just baked into your game for anything. Just to pet either the fighters of your game, you can pet the blocks, I don't care.
And if it's a GTA game, you could pet the homeless people.
Yep, of course.
That'd be cool.
And Febreze them, if you wanted to.
Can you pet any animal?
You can pet the cats, you can pet the dogs.
Can you pet the monsters?
You can pet the horses.
No, but it's funny you mention that.
Yeah.
Because slimes are confirmed as edible.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that slimes taste like lime?
Do they feel pain while you're eating them?
They have eyeballs, Andy. And mouths.
Right. But is there like a big smile while you're eating them? Like, they're like, yay, I'm dying!
Wow, you're eating me. Don't worry, I'll come out just the same.
Ugh, that can't be good. And they taste like lime. That's important to know.
Isn't just, this sounds like Gooluigi to taste like coffee.
Right.
Is that, because he's made of coffee?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gooluigi. Waluigi, Luigi's gooey counterpart in the mansion games.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Tastes like coffee. In case you were wondering, Ben.
That's a thing.
Oh my god, this is it. This is it. I feel that in any game, with any animal, any human, any object, just have a pet button. Has to be there. You need it.
I don't disagree.
It should be in any dev doc. The first line should be pet button. That's it.
I feel like you're being sarcastic, but I mean,
no, I'm not.
Because I you need to get shit right.
This isn't even a hype zone. This is real to me.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't like getting on here. It should be the top billing of the whole news story.
True. You got a point. Ladies and gentlemen, it is almost time to get into the Retro Game Club, which is a beautiful little game that we're going to play. Andy and Ben are going to try and guess the game, the Vigi game this week. But before we do, I want to tell you about our sponsor, MeltedPins.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are new items on MeltedPins.com that you absolutely need to take a look at. But first, let me tell you about it. Melted Pins is a website that sells unique and original tattoo art inspired pins, buttons, and all sorts of other types of merch, like tote bags and things like that, mugs, all sorts of fun stuff. Artist Kelsey Lynn has done art for our show, specifically our Free Shit Fridays little stamp that we put on our streams, and other websites and other streamers and other content creators all over the world she's done art for. You can check out these awesome designs and buy your own by going to meltedpins.com and using the checkout code NDSMelted to get 10% off your purchase. Now, some new stuff here. There's a really cool item, a really cool design called Summoning Fall, and it is a pumpkin pie with the pentagram? Is that what it's called? The star? Is that what that thing's called? Yeah.
Yes.
And it etched in the middle of it, and it's really cool, and I like it. And there's also a whale. It is a white whale print. I like the whale. It's very cute. There's also a new flower there. There's a vial. There's a, it's called Tropical Test Tube, which looks like it's a test tube with a little sand and a little palm tree coming out of it, a little water and stuff. Cool stuff. White Claw Appreciation Society sticker. So if you're a White Claw dude, right there. So yeah, all sorts of fun stuff. And right now there's a massive sale going on. But it looks like it has ended. The sale has ended. We just got the site has not updated that, but they were doing a 25% off sale.
But
if you want a discount, you go to meltedpins.com and use that checkout code NDSMelted, and you get 10% off your order. You can follow Melted Pins on all social media at Melted Pins. That's meltedpins.com, promo code NDSMelted. Andy, it is time for the final segment of the show. It is time to battle in Retro Game Club. Ben, here's how it works. I am going to give you and Andy clues to a game, to a retro game, that has appeared on a Nintendo console that's from the GameCube and back. I'm going to give you one clue, and then you could like deliberate amongst each other, you know, talk about it or whatever. But you get three total guesses to try and guess the game of the week. If you'd like to ask a yes or no question, you could do so, but you forfeit one of your guesses. The quicker you get the answer, the more points you guys get. Andy is in the lead 33-25 right now. He's just trouncing me. He's just beating me within an inch of my life. Do you understand how the game works?
As well as I am going to.
Excellent. Excellent. So here is your first clue. This video game is a fighting game that was released in the late 90s. Game released in the late 90s.
I'm trying to think. Fighting games on the Nintendo. Let's think.
I want to clarify. I'm going to make it a little bit of a better clue.
Sure, you please do that.
It was exclusive to Nintendo in the late 90s.
Ooh, okay.
Fighting game exclusive to the Nintendo in the late 90s.
Like so, Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct. There was Tournament Fighters was a thing that came out.
Nah, TMNT Tournament Fighters was on Genesis.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Uh-huh. Oh, interesting. I forgot about that. Okay.
Balls was on 3DO.
What was that other one on the 64, War Gods?
War Gods was on PlayStation 2.
God damn it. I had no idea. All right. I'm glad you're here, Ben. I'm so glad you're here right now.
I think War Gods was on PlayStation. I think the original arcade machine was a System 12.
Okay.
Or no, it was a Midway machine, wasn't it?
Mm. Yes. I know it was a Midway game. But I think it was only on N64, though. But again, it's a port, but it is an exclusive to N64.
Warlords, I think it was called Warlords, was only on... I'm writing these down.
Huh. Oh, I like Ben. He's taking this shit serious.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, this is great.
I wish it was a week that you were giving the clues.
Oh my God, we should have him be our phone a friend. We're going to call Ben on random Sundays. Hey, Ben, I have a clue for you. I'm trying to think of other fighting games on Nintendo. Oh, Clay Fighters?
No, that was on Genesis.
Shit, was it?
Clay Fighter 64.
Yeah, that was only on 64. Was that 33 and a third or some shit was the exact...
Tagline for that. 33 and a third and Sculptor's Cut.
Yeah, it had Boogerman and Santa Claus. I'm sure there was like some guest character in that game for the N64 version. Okay, I think we're in a good mindset. I like your energy. I'm loving it. I think we'll have the next clue.
This game is the third game in its series.
The fuck is it, Clay Fighter? 33 and a third.
It's got to be Clay Fighter 33 and a third.
All right, fuck it. Is it, Steven? Clay Fighter 33 and a third?
It is not.
Oh!
But that's because it's Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
Ah, fuck you.
63 and a third. God damn it, you're right.
But I'll give it to you because you were very close. So yeah, you got there in two clues. Your next clue is going to be that cameras were used in the making of this video game. All the stop motion stuff.
Oh, shit, I'm thinking of Naked Gun 33 and
yes,
the third.
Yes,
that's what I was thinking of, too. You're right.
And they were making fun of that. Okay.
It was Clay Fighter 2, Judgment Clay.
Yes.
Clay Fighter 63 and a third, starring with a guest star of Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim, that too was in it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. which is also weird because I don't think he had a game on Nintendo 64.
Right.
I don't think he did anyway.
There was an Earthworm Jim 64.
Oh God, I hope not. Don't tell
there
me.
Yeah, there was. There was.
Oh no, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
I think it was pretty terrible.
All right, look at that.
All right, well, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. Remember.
Fast and nasty.
That was good. Fast and furious, which is good because my kid's hungry and he wants to come home and eat. So this is good. Remember, Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast is part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horse, a PlayStation podcast, Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast, and PG Spoilers, a pop cultural spoiler cast run by you, the listeners. If you want to help out Proven Gamer, please go to provengamer.com and subscribe to those other shows. There's something for everyone. If you want to follow us on social media, you could do so. We are at NDS Podcast. That's at NDS Podcast. On Twitter and Instagram, I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And if you want to laugh, you can follow my parody Instagram account called at Wow Bad Insta, and it is just awful photographs that me and my brother-in-law and our friend in Denver that we take and we put up there with funny captions and stuff like that. They're just terrible pictures. They're like awful selfies of like the tops of our heads and stuff like that. It's really goofy shit, but if you want to follow it, you can do so. You could join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/NDS podcast. Now, Ben, where can everybody find you one more time?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at PixelPlease. We have a Facebook account that I never use, facebook.com/PixelPlease. And you can find RoboPuzzle Smash at robopuzzlesmash.com.
There it is. And folks, if you want to watch us stream, I'm trying to get back in the groove with the whole streaming thing. You can go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. I'm trying to get 3 days a week. It's been really hard for me to do so with all sorts of stuff happening this summer, but I'm going to get back at it probably once the fall comes around. Thank you to our contributors of the show, Zazu Pitts of Sarano Productions for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our Twitch overlays. Thank you, Dan Colon of Dinosaur Machines, Hitbun Gamings, and at twitch.tv/DanOMac for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our podcast art. And you can follow Andrew at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. If you want to listen to the pre- and post-show, and or post-show, I should say, of this, you could do so by supporting us at patreon.com/NDS podcast. $1, folks. $1 gets you two things. One, an invitation to our VIP Discord channel, and two, a free bonus, well, not free, because it's $1, a bonus episode every month. And this last episode that we did, we put up a couple of days ago, was the top 10 main characters in video gaming history. Andy and I each made a list, and we want you to decide whose lists are the best. Best character in gaming. Ben, go. Best main character. Number one.
Best main character in gaming.
Go ahead.
God, I am stumped.
Hit me with it. Come on. You know you want to say it.
Bubsy.
God, I hate you, Andy. Bubsy did not make our list.
Are we looking for
that guy from Countdown Vampires?
Who do you think is the best main character in all of gaming?
Man,
See, these things are hard to do, and Andy and I did it. We did it. Not only that, but spoiler alert, things got really interesting in the final three. Really interesting. That is it. Andy, do you want to tell any of the kids something before we go? What do you want to tell everybody?
I could announce next week's guest.
Let's do it. Announce it.
We're having on Flight School Studio talking about Creature in the Well, baby. Good. Indie goodness.
The Nindy love.
Which is out this Friday. So pick that shit up.
Go do it. Ben, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. We wish you nothing but luck on the remaining couple of weeks of your Kickstarter. We hope everything goes swimmingly, and we can play RoboPuzzle on the Switch, RoboPuzzle Smash, excuse me, on the Switch very, very soon. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And you got a friend in us, as they say, as Randy Newman has said. You got a friend in me. That's it.
Voice. Oh, God.
That's it. Folks, it's time to say goodbye. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 114 for the week of September 2nd, 2019. And as always, please be excellent to each other.